Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jamil Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew.
All homebrewers have a favorite commercial beer, but not everyone can make it. Welcome to the show that teaches you how, where you can challenge two masters, Jamil Zainashev and Tasty McDole. This is the Jamil Show. Can you brew it? Now here's Jamil.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. Back for another episode of Can You Brew It? How you doing today, Tasty?
Doing really well. It's a great day here in California.
Well, it's your birthday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or
keep
soon.
Keep forgetting about that. I was trying to put it off a year, but somebody let it slip out, and now everybody knows.
Happy birthday, Tasty.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, Tasty is turning 35.
Yeah, Monday? Last year I was 34. That's amazing. Yes,
happens so. You grow up so quick.
I know. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Sometimes I don't know how old I am. You probably noticed that.
Another year, another notch in the old kielbasa or whatever. Yeah.
You know, I feel kind of old today. I don't know. I'm just too much going on.
Well, and my birthday gift to you, my special birthday gift to you is. Some advice.
Okay. Sage advice.
Sage advice.
Or some paprika advice works too, but go ahead.
Get yourself to northernbrewer.com.
Oh.
Our fine sponsor. Yeah. They make this show possible. And go out there, pick yourself up some goodies. They got all the stuff you need to brew these fine clone brews that we're doing, these Can You Brew It challenges. And like that, you know. So there's your fine birthday present. Dan, don't spend it all in one place.
Tasty has more disdain for his birthday than anybody I've ever known. What's the deal with you and your birthday?
I don't know. I don't have much disdain for it either.
Hey, we don't want to get into that. Come on. Oh, I don't know. I just never was a birthday guy.
No.
Yeah. Wouldn't mean a thing to me if nobody said a thing or I you know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it myself until somebody said something.
So I should cancel the stripper.
Well, not if I'm going to be blamed for somebody canceling the stripper. No, no. I'm not going to take that heat. No.
Just checking.
Yeah. I mean, everybody likes strippers. Come on. Well.
Well, almost everybody.
Let's not get into that side.
All right.
That's the other show.
That's true.
Well, and what's our challenge today, Justin?
Well, George Hamilton from Wisconsin loves himself. Some arrogant bastard from
the really
Stone.
Tan guy.
The really tan guy, George Hamilton. Yeah, the guy who sprays on the paint.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows beer.
How do you get that tan in Wisconsin? Nobody knows. Mm. He wrote in, big fan of Stone's arrogant bastard. So
you know that guy's like a 25 SRM.
You know? He's a little darker. He'd be arrogant bastard.
That's right. Yeah, bastard himself.
I'm pretty sure. Right now he's more of a Mira Pond.
No, he's. I think he's the color arrogant bastard. He's pretty close. So I hold up my glass right here, and
yeah,
I can see that right there.
He's right there. Well, he wrote in. I know it's challenging, and I know that they're a little top secret about this recipe. But I'd love to be able to brew me some arrogant bastard from Stone Brewing Company. So that's your challenge today, guys.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, I love me some arrogant bastard as well, and you know, he wasn't the only one to. Right in for this one. I think this is one of the most requested colognes that we've had so far.
Yeah, and it keeps coming in, too, over and over again.
Yeah, there must be a dozen, and we've been just telling people, all right, we'll do it, you know, leave us alone. And so we've, you know, it's challenging because there's not a lot of information out there on brewing arrogant bastard, and it's said that the folks at Stone are very tight-lipped about the recipe for this beer. You know, they're very generous with their information on any other beer you want to ask about. They'll tell you everything you want to know. Yeah. But on Arrogant Bastard, you know, they don't want to say anything. So, you know, that was really the challenge there. Now, it's interesting because you'd think there's, you know, only one way to get a certain flavor for a beer, right? You think, oh, well, you know, whatever that recipe is, that's, you know, how you're going to get it. It's going to be, you know, X amount of whatever malt. And if you change that at all, you're not going to clone the beer. Well, you know, there is some flexibility there, but, you know, you end up with subtle differences. And one of the things we did was look at the existing clone recipes out there for Arrogant Bastard. And looking at those, I just wasn't convinced that any of those were actually right. People are saying, oh, yeah, it's really close, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it would make Arrogant Bastard to me. So first thing we did was get a hold of the folks at Stone Brewing and asked them to talk with us on the air, and they were great. They joined us on the air, and well, you know, leave it at that. We'll hear from Stone. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll hear from Stone about how you brew Arrogant Bastard. Back after this.
Where were we? You stole an oak barrel from the mist of Ravenwood, and Lord Zinfandel the Avenger is in pursuit. Do you drop the barrel and run?
Hell no.
We need it for a Flanders Red!
I'm gonna cast Pediococcus Damnathus on the barrel.
Sorry, your ghosts are imprisoned in his winery forever.
Ugh, I hate it when Greg's the brewmaster.
This sucks!
What do we have here, Orville Rodenbach?
Buzz off, guy! We got a brew session going.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Do you get a long-lasting foam stand when you think about wheat malt? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs. Ingredients, equipment, and knowledge at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping. Only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the pre-prohibition lager.
Perfect for steampunk.
And the single hop best bitter.
Now on cask and 10 forward.
Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brewpub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted Best Night Spot 7 times and Best Brewpub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tail Wagon Amber Ale and Double Secret Probation IPA, are the perfect accent to riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and the BN Army Member Special. Wear your BN gear, get 10% off your beer. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub where you'll feel at home.
Organic ingredients. Fresh, clean, good for you, good for the planet. And Seven Bridges has the best selection in the world. Everything is a click away at breworganic.com. Join the mailing list for special deals and regular updates about new products and specials. They have been brewing organic and serving organic brewers for almost 12 years. They can help you brew great organic beer. Take the National Organic Brewing Challenge, the only BJCP-sanctioned nationwide brewing competition just for organic beers. Enter the competition by October 10th for your chance to win great prizes, including a hands-on brewing experience at an organic brewery, brewing equipment, or organic brewing ingredients. Complete details about the competition are online at breworganic.com/competition. Seven Bridges is cooperatively owned in awesome Santa Cruz, California. Everyone there is dedicated to worker and people-friendly business practices and environmentally friendly, worker-friendly brewing products whenever possible. Visit today, breworganic.com.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
We're here with Mitch Steele from Stone Brewing. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Great.
Thanks for joining us here. We're, you know, we have a ton of listeners have emailed us wishing to have our Can You Brew It show cover the Arrogant Bastard style. and just wanted to see if we can talk about it today with you. First of all, you're the head brewer there at Stone, is that right?
That's correct.
And how long have you been in there in that capacity?
It'll be 3 years in May. So it's seems like a lot less in some ways. It seems like I just got here, but it's 3 years.
Right. Now, Arrogant Bastard is not the only beer in your lineup. Is that still one of your best-selling beers, or is that fallen?
It is. Stone IPA is our best seller. It's about 35% of our business.
Oh, okay.
And Arrogant Bastard Ale is about 25%, I'd say, of our business. So it's number two in our portfolio. Right.
That's still a lot of beer because you guys are very large. What's your annual beer production there at Stone?
Well, last year, we're still kind of finalizing the number. Last year, I think it looks like it's going to be about 82,000 barrels.
I see. That's big.
The year before that was just under 70,000. So, you know, we're still growing at about 20% a year. When I first got here, we were at 44,000 or so. So we've almost doubled since I've been here.
Wow, that's a big growth in 3 years. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, it's been pretty phenomenal. It's a lot of fun working in a place that's growing, I tell you.
Yes. And you know, after the IPA, what seems to be third in your lineup? I was kind of curious about that because I don't.
Stone Pale Ale is our third bestseller.
All right, gotcha. All right, well, I understand that the Arrogant Bastard's recipe is a proprietary recipe, and we're not going to try to pin you down for that. But what we would
Yeah,
what's that?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Well, we'd love to have it, but we understand that it's not yours to give, and I understand that. But our listeners are trying to make the beer all the time, and some are getting close, and some are pretty far away. We would like maybe get some information from you that would help us at least have a starting point for making a beer that's somewhat like the Arrogant Bastard.
Let's start with the numbers that we could go ahead and measure. Send it to a lab, what have you. So your starting gravity, finishing gravity, alcohol by volume, IBUs, color, all that all that could be public information, right?
It could be if you wanted to send the beer out and get it analyzed. Alcohol, I can tell you, is 7.2%.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I can measure finishing gravity, and if I know the alcohol, I can get my starting gravity from that.
Yep. Okay. Yep, you sure can.
Okay. What about IBUs?
You can get those measured, too.
Okay. I got a spectrophotometer.
They're high, I'll tell you that. That's about all I can tell you.
Okay. I didn't know if you had that as public information on the site or something.
No, we don't. We don't, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I think people that taste the beer can probably guess about where it's at.
Well, it's pretty well in balance, so I would think, something a beer like this would probably be, 80 IBU or so or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that would work, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
when I've drank a lot of this beer, and hop-wise, I wouldn't be probably too far off if I put some Chinook in there, would I?
I think you'd end up with a pretty good beer if you put Chinook in there.
Okay, cool. And would I finish that with like a Centennial, or would you think we'd get closer if we tried something else?
I'm treading on dangerous territory here. I would say you'd probably be better trying something else.
Something else. Okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, that's a much more open answer because something else is like 60 other hops. Okay.
Very true.
All right. Now, you guys normally use just your water treatment. Do you do anything special with the water there for a dark beer like this?
Well, we don't do anything different for any of our beers.
Sure.
Really,
it's one water for all.
What we
all
do is we use municipal water. We bring it in, we run it through a carbon filter to filter out all the chlorine, and the water here is a little bit on the musty side, so the carbon filter takes all that out.
Nice.
And then what we do, it comes in at about 250 parts per million hardness, and we run some of the water through a reverse osmosis unit, so we're running at about 100 parts per million hardness when we brew with it.
Time you get it blended back in and everything. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So you get those, but you don't add any sort of gypsum or anything like that to
Yeah, we're not using any brewing salts at all right now. It's something I've been kind of looking at, but not real seriously yet. It's just something that's kind of on my radar, and but we're not using any.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's a wonderful beer, and it seems to have some roasty notes to it, and not a lot, but a touch of roasty notes, like kind of like a chocolate malt or something like that, chocolate malt flavors, I think.
So, yep.
it does, but, you know, I can tell you that it's a very complex malt character, and I think, you know, in my mind, there's only one way to get that kind of complexity mm-hmm. with your malt character.
So we'd be well off using multiple dark malts, different varieties?
Well, that's my opinion, is to get that kind of complexity in a beer, you need to use some different malts.
A range of colors. Yeah. And well, that's one of the things I like to do is when I'm brewing something where I want complexity in the malt bill. A lot of recipes, homebrew recipes, will be like, a pound of chocolate malt or something like that. And I like to break it up, do like a half pale chocolate. And the regular chocolate, maybe a little bit of a darker malt, and kind of break it up, get more complexity in the flavor profile that way.
Yeah, I've never used pale chocolate malt. I know we have here at Stone before, but in some of our maybe early Vertical Epic or anniversary beers, but that was before my time. But some of the guys here speak real highly of that pale chocolate. Mm-hmm. I've never used it. It's good stuff, though, I guess.
Yeah, it's great. It gives a kind of a nutty, toasty, very, very light roasty character to it.
Nice.
Real nice. And there's no other malt that actually replaces that. There's no other product where you can get the similar. You can get other flavors with some of that, but it's pretty unique. So
what's the color rating on the pale chocolate?
200 love.
Okay. So yeah, that sounds great.
I've gotten 200 love caramel malts. And this is a like a toasted malt. It's done like chocolate malt, but only taken up to 200 love. So
okay.
And yeah, they had canceled it at one point, I guess, and then there was a cry from the brewers that there was nothing else that would replace it, so they brought it back.
Hmm. Oh, great! I'll have to try it sometime.
Still out there. And I think the same thing like you're talking about on the malt complexity in beers. Also applies to crystal malts and, various ranges of crystal malt. And when I have a beer like Arrogant Bastard, I always seem to think that there's some dark crystal malts in there. When I was making a clone of that, I went with a fair amount of 120 in there. And I thought that helped out.
Yeah, I can tell you that we use a lot of different crystal malts here at Stone. We have probably four or five different Levibon ratings of crystal malts. So,
oh, wow. What's the darkest you use?
Probably 150. Mm-hmm. We use, it's 150. We use, the 15-degree Levibon crystal in our IPA and in Ruination IPA.
Mm-hmm.
So we go the whole range from 15 to 150 here. You can see them if you come to the brewery. You can see those malts sitting in our racks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are a couple of great beers as well.
Yes, very good.
When I'm hankering for a good IPA, both of those are excellent choices.
Oh, thank you. The Stone IPA's become my everyday beer, as it were. It's my staple.
Yeah, I was down at I had to go down to San Diego a lot for work, and they put us up in a Marriott down there, and they had a number of beers on, but what they had was Stone IPA, I think, or Stone Pale, and I was glad for that. Every night I'd go and have a couple of pints.
Oh, great.
On the company account. And
very nice.
I was like, yeah, I like this Marriott. And they're like, oh, you like the rooms? No, I like the beer at the bar.
Like the beer. It's pretty important.
Yep. And all your beers there have a pretty clean profile to them, fermentation profile.
Mm-hmm. We, you know, our house yeast is a proprietary yeast. It's maintained by White Labs. They send us a culture about every quarter. We get a new culture in here. It, to me, the profile of our yeast is pretty. It changes, you know, with the alcohol strength, like any yeast. But it's pretty clean. You know, fairly medium to moderate strength beers. And then as you get into higher alcohol beers, it starts to throw a lot of esters. So, you know, in our special releases, I tend to get a lot of pineapple off the yeast and a lot of tropical fruit where, you know, with our core brands, not so much. But, you know, it's a standard ale yeast. We've tossed around what yeast really kind of works from a, you know, from a commercially available strain. And we kind of go back and forth. You know, but a typical, you know, good fermenting, not a real high ester profile English yeast is what we tend to recommend for people doing that. And all of our beers go through a fairly similar fermentation profile. We ferment all of our beers at 72 degrees Fahrenheit, and then when the beer is about 1/2 to 1 degree Plato above terminal gravity, then we'll cap the tank and allow some carbonation to build up, and then we'll chill the tank 24 hours later.
Okay.
And what about the mashing? Do you use like one mash temperature, or is that something you vary on your beers?
We vary it quite a bit, actually. We go anywhere from 148 degrees Fahrenheit to about 158 degrees Fahrenheit, depending on the beer.
Wow.
And it's all dependent on what beer we're making, what kind of terminal gravity we want in the final beer, and what kind of malts are in it, you know, and how far we want it to try and finish out.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make this beer, Jimmy?
I see smoke coming out of their ears,
Let's
Mitch.
Let's see.
Yeah. Let's see here.
How am I doing? Am I helping you out?
I think it's going to taste more like a Sierra Nevada beer.
No.
I feel so bad for Mitch. He's just sitting in the hot seat there.
Well, wait,
waiting
yeah, we
for
understand.
Greg to walk in the other room.
Well, and you know,
who are you talking to?
Let me put it this way. How would you describe Arrogant Bastard?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably drank your fair share. How would you describe that to the listeners, that fine beer?
You know, when we have our taste panel every day, and what we look for in that beer is a real complex multi character, some maybe like peach character in the hops, you know, a little bit of a hint of roast in the beer, and we look for a nice awesome bitterness on the finish. You know, and you know, a good Arrogant Bastard ale for us has those characteristics, and you know, so those are the comments that we use in our taste panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it finishes fairly dry, and I think that lends itself to that roast and that bitterness in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of other big red beers out there that finish quite a bit sweeter, and I think that it's a whole different beer when it finishes dry.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've been back in the craft brewing world for about 3 years now, and most of our beers are pretty dry in comparison to a lot of others, and that's something that we actually do kind of prefer. I think a drier beer allows the hop character to come out a little bit better as well, and you mm-hmm. don't get that conflict between the sweet caramel and the hops.
Mm-hmm. Makes
you know,
it more
so
drinkable.
Yeah, that's more drinkable, Mitch. Yeah, you can drink two, three pints of it.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can drink three pints of the beer.
Yeah, you know, sweet beers for me aren't, you know, they're very filling and satiating, and so mm-hmm. I tend to prefer them drier anyway, so it's it works for me.
Yeah, they become sipping beers, and when I think Arrogant Bastard, I like to think of, you know, a bomber is about the right serving for me.
Yeah.
You know, and then I mm-hmm. need another one, but, you know...
At least a bomber.
Yeah. When I look at the bottles, I mean, yeah. you shouldn't package it in anything smaller than a bomber because, you know, it'd be like, yeah, I don't see how you even want to share a bomber. You want to drink a bomber. So every person needs their own bomber.
That's cool. We've talked about, you know, putting it in six packs, and we don't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'd have to, you know, like open two bottles in order to have my Arrogant Bastard. So, Yeah, save a cap. Yeah, save a cap, and I can just, you know, do it once.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely a session beer.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And
thank you.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job there, and I think all your beers are quite impressive.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear. Honestly, it's fun to work at a brewery where our beers are. We have a lot of really good fans and people that are really excited about our beers. It makes the job really fun. So, it's an awesome place to be, especially where I came from, where I got slammed a lot for what I was doing before. So this is very cool to be here.
Everybody likes to be loved.
Yeah, it goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and I think, Stone was one of the first breweries to really kick off that being bold type of approach
to
brewing, to really, go out there and do what you like and be creative and not just follow the masses. And I think it's earned a spot in everybody's heart in the craft beer community.
I was a big fan of Stone before I came on board, so I was right with you on that. I loved what they were doing and the approach that they took, and not dumbing down their beer for anybody. And I just thought that was really cool, because like you said, not many people were doing that. A lot of people would brew a beer for the masses, thinking that would get them in the door, and we just didn't do that. We said, either here's our beer, you like it or you don't.
Well, I talk to a number of brew pubs, and they'll say, what beer do I brew that will get, that the most people will like? What appeals to, every person? And it's like, you don't really want to brew that beer because, it's not really going to, it's not a reason to come in,
Right.
Maybe you have one beer like that, for the masses, but... that's not going to draw them in the door. You want something that makes it a reason to drink and to come out. So,
exactly.
I think people trying to hit the middle of the road is really not doing any good. But
I would agree. I don't think craft brewing, I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about trying new things and new flavors and going where people haven't gone before with beer. And I think that's the whole appeal. At least it is for me. Mm-hmm. So, if I go into a place, I'm looking for something that I may not have had before, or a new twist on a standard recipe or something like that.
Yeah, hit or miss. It's better to be bold and adventurous than to be timid and not have any success at all. So
I agree, and sometimes you do miss, but as you do this enough, you get better at it.
And then you don't brew that one again, So I think we have a bit of hit and miss ahead of us in dialing in our Arrogant Bastard.
This may take maybe a 3 or 4 dozen tries, but then we may not even be close.
Help,
That's right, Mitch. We understand.
I got to consider my job, though.
Exactly. Well, listen, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been fun talking to you. I would like to say it's been very informative, but it has been at least informative. And we're going to go out and we're going to give this beer a try, believe it or not. So,
well, good luck. And you need to know that I'm happy to talk about any of our other beers.
We understand
in quite detail. I'm sorry I can't help you more with this one.
Well, we've got some requests for some other Stone beers.
Yeah.
So
we
will be calling you again then.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mitch.
Okay, I rolled a 15 and I get a +2 from my yeast starter.
Nope, sorry, you failed your roll. Your beer is infected.
No way!
You had to beat a 24. It's schizosaccharomyces.
This sucks! I just failed versus oxidation! Our party is fracked. Doug's the only one left and his beer is a Berliner Weiss.
What's this? A tea party?
Hey, this is a brew session, man. Get lost.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Does your significant other know the difference between an Irish red ale and a Flanders red ale? Do you burp, strizzle, spalt, and fart Y East 2308? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the socially awkward Patter's beer and the sci-fi convention showstopper number 8. Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
Nico, listen, our lawyer said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty crack cans.
Tasty crack cans.
BN Army members, are you looking for a discount on hops? Keep listening. Nico's Homebrew Supply at NicoBrew.com has hops by the ounce and by the pound. Choose from varieties like Amarillo, Centennial, East Kent Goldings, Holler Tower, Simcoe, Summit, Tomahawk, Warrior, Willamette, and more. And adding new varieties all the time, many for less than $20 a pound. Whether a couple ounces at a time or an 11-pound bag, all hops are shipped vacuum-sealed and frozen straight to you. Nico's Homebrew Supply offers store-wide $5 flat-rate shipping and won't waste your money on unnecessary overhead or advertising. They're going bare bones and passing the savings on to you. The staff at Nico's Homebrew Supply loves to brew and is committed to keeping homebrewing affordable and accessible to anyone who wants to join in this great hobby. And for a limited time, use coupon code BNARMY at checkout for a Brewing Network discount. Visit NicoBrew.com. That's NikoBrew.com for your hops and more. NicoBrew.com, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty crispness you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. Exactly. It's so easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
The Brewing Network.
Now back to the challenge. Can you brew it?
We're talking about Stone's Arrogant Bastard. And actually, you know, I really love Arrogant Bastard. It's one of the beers I've consumed quite a lot of and quite a lot more since Tasty and I started in on this challenge. Huh?
Look at a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Mitch is a great guy, isn't he? I really like talking to him.
Mitch is wonderful. You know, we really, he's put in a hard spot. Yeah. You know, the bosses are saying don't give out any information about this beer. Right. You know, help people with anything else, but not this one beer you cannot talk about. I was at the homebrew conference in Oakland. I met up with Greg Cook there, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to clone this Arrogant Bastard. And he, you know, kind of gave a chuckle, and I said, I know that you guys are just having fun with this. You give out all your other information, and really it's just, it's kind of a thing to kind of play with people on this and, you know, have some fun with it. He said, yeah, he seemed really excited that we were interested in cloning the beer, and he was, you know, kind of curious to see if we could do it. And, you know, he pretty much confirmed that, yeah, any other information you want, you know, they're quite willing to help, but, you know, this is the one thing that they won't divulge.
I really liked about Mitch too is he, you know, he never once said no or we shouldn't do it or anything. Right. He just laughed. He kind of said, he said, "Hey man, I'll do it, but you know the deal." Right. Yeah. So you're setting yourself up for failure. It was almost that kind of laugh he had in his voice, like, "I'm there. Whatever I can say, it's all yours."
I think they want somebody to do it. You know, it's that challenge. It's like, you know, come on and do it. You know, so many people have asked. It'd be really cool to see it done.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that, you know, Tasty and I got together, we tasted some Arrogant Bastard. We talked about it and, you know, came up with some theories. And one of the very first things I did was send off a sample to be analyzed because, you know, Mitch was saying, well, yeah, you could send it to a lab. So I did. And it came back really interesting. The IBUs came back as 58. The finishing gravity was 10.14. They had the alcohol at 7.65. Now, Stone says 7.2. It has it on the bottle. 7.65 is a considerable difference.
Yeah.
Between the two. I'm kind of surprised the difference is that much. I mean, sometimes it'll be off by a tenth, but, you know, 0.4 is a significant difference. And, you know, apparent attenuation is just right about 80%, 79.82%. And Love a Bond for color is what I got back was 46.1. So I worked that into SRM, and you know, it's in the kind of the mid to upper 20s. Let's see. And so the challenge was, you know, you have a recipe, and here we got some basic parameters that's helpful, but. You know, the challenge is kind of figuring out, all right, what's in this beer? What are the flavors that you've got? What are the components to it? You know, how are you going to replicate those components? And there's a lot going on in a really simple beer. If you're trying to brew, you know, most Pilsners, you know what the malt bill is. It's really simple. But in something like this, there's a lot of, you know, complexity, malt complexity going on there. But I don't buy this... this recipe that I see out on the web with, you know, Munich malt and, you know, some other, you know, biscuit and whatever else in there. It just doesn't seem right to me.
We put this on our Facebook stuff so everyone could hear about the show today. And I saw guys going, hey, if you guys can't clone it, I can. I've done it a bunch of times. And, I just know you guys. You know, you guys have looked over those recipes, so I think it's significant that you're saying, "Look, I'm not buying it that that's in this beer," especially after you sent it to be analyzed.
Right.
You know. So I just want to. I just like to point out that you guys are really taking this one to heart.
Well, we have a pretty high standard on this show. You know, we have to taste them side by side, blind, and declare them so close together that you couldn't change anything in the recipe to make it any closer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, always the standard.
Right. You know, I think if you're just, you want to get something close, I think, you know, maybe that recipe does get close, but, you know, we want closer than that. So one of the things that I had was, I don't know what convinces me of this, but, the bulk of the specialty grains in this beer are crystal malts. I mean, there's crystal malts, and there's maybe a tiny dash of chocolate. I don't know about the chocolate, but it's all crystal malts. Mike, why don't you go over the recipe that we came up with, and we'll go from there.
All right. Based on that vast body of knowledge that Mitch gave us, we came up with this recipe here. Batch size is a normal 6-gallon batch. Starting gravity... 1071 or 17.3 Plato. finishing gravity of 1013 or 3.3 Plato. Apparent degree of fermentation of almost 80%. That's cool. Alcohol on the beer that we made is 7.7% ABV. By recipe, it's 80 IBUs, and the color is 27.6 SRM. Collected at a pre-boil volume of 7.7 gallons or 29.1 liters at a pre-boil gravity of 1055 or 13.5 Plato. Our recipes are based on 70% efficiency. I boiled for 90 minutes. The grain bill is as follows. 14 pounds or 6.41 kilograms of pale malt, two row. 1.1 pounds or a half a kilogram of Crystal 150. 0.55 pounds or a quarter kilogram of a Crystal 15. 0.55 pounds or a quarter kilogram of Crystal 40. 0.55 pounds or a quarter gram of Crystal 80. And 0.15 kilograms or 30.33 pounds of chocolate malt. Everything is American except the Crystal 150 is British Crystal 150. And then the hop bill is as follows. Got some odd numbers here, but don't worry about that. Like Jamil often says, the best way to do these small additions of hops is by grams instead of ounces. Anyway, at 85 minutes, a 0.99 ounce or 28 grams of Chinook. It's all Chinook, so it's the alpha is computed at 13.00. And then again, at 45 minutes, 0.49 ounces of 14 grams of Chinook. And then at 15 minutes, 0.49 ounces or 14 grams of the same Chinook hop, and then at flame out, 0.49 ounces or 14 grams of Chinook. We use the English, the dry English ale yeast, WLP07, also known as the Y yeast 1098. Mash temperature, we did a single step mash at 149 or 65 C for 60 minutes. We did a mash out at 168 or 75.6 C for 10 minutes, and then the sparge was 170 degrees or 76.7 centigrade for about 60 minutes. And that's pretty much how I made the beer.
All right, so we've tasted this. We've done the blind tasting, and we all have our opinions on this. Why don't we start with Justin? What's your take on this?
All right. Well, there's some real quick problems to note right off the bat.
I didn't see you spitting anything out.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Great beer.
Okay.
The SRM is off, right? So visually, it's failed the from what I think is the clone and what I think is the commercial version. The clone looks darker. And significantly darker, enough to say that something has to be changed, I think, to get the color right. The aroma I found to be pretty close, other than what I think is the homebrew version. It had some fusel action going on for me, which is going away. I actually tried this beer a few days ago, and it was a lot more fusely than it is right now, assuming that I'm right about which beer it is. Finally... Man, do I think other than those things that are significantly different, I think it's really close. It's a malt problem. And what I think is the actual Stone Arrogant Bastard has a really complex and that kind of grapey malt that I usually put with not even a Belgian sometimes, but like a Doppelbock, things like that. A really thick, grapey type of complex malt, which I'm not getting from what I think is the homebrew. So while I think with some age, a little oxidation, a little bit of that could go along with this homebrew, I think it would be one hell of a lot closer to being a clone. I think changes have to be made. So by our standard of would you change anything, I unfortunately have to say not cloned. But I do just want to add that, man, what a good first attempt going in blind. So, but but not that's not for your ego. That's for what I really think, Tasty. Really good close first attempt, but not cloned, is my opinion.
I had a similar take on it that, you know, it's surprisingly close for just, you know, a first kind of wild guess as to, you know, we expected to go in with at least a half a dozen tries on this thing.
Yeah.
And to get this close on the first shot, I thought that's pretty darn close to, you know, a lot of the characters are there. So what I think we got right so far is the yeast for certain. I think some of the characters there in the malts are definitely there. There's some adjustments to be made, but I think that's close. I think the hops are actually fairly close. There's some adjustments to be made, but I think we're pretty close there too. Again, this is completely different than any other recipe I've seen out there on the internet. I've seen anything along the lines of this. So, you know, we're gonna have to make some adjustments, but you know, we're already kind of in the zone. So I think we've knocked a few iterations off our attempts with this first one. So I gotta call it not cloned, but I think you know, pretty good for a first stab. Chad, how about you? What do you think of this one? Are you calling it clone, not cloned?
Not cloned. I agree with Justin as far as SRM. I think, you know, Tasty's a little darker.
Color's a little off.
Exactly. But, you know, as far as aroma, I think I get a little more fusel, a little more alcohol out of the commercial example.
Same here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's got a little more hop to it. And, you know, Tasty's example, I think, is a more chocolate bitterness.
Yep.
And just a little over the top as far as that goes. But I think it's a great attempt, and I think carbonation looks great too, actually. You know, same kind of head retention, nice little tan foam to it. So that's pretty important too, I think, as far as tasting them side by side. It's pretty close, mouthfeel-wise.
I think those are excellent points. I thought that the Stone Brewing, I think, Tasty, you fermented yours cooler than Stone does. I think there's quite a bit more esters and... character and a little bit of alcohol to the Stone one, and I think, you know, our version has a little too much chocolate. It's a little too dark,
right.
And not enough late hop character. I thought carbonation was actually a little higher on yours than on the Stone beer, but it's pretty darn close.
And kind of the warmth of the commercial example too. I think that's a little different. You get a little more warmth, like more alcohol, where I think yours has a little more bite at the end and. Not so much.
It tastes bigger than their beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't come through as warm or alcohol. It's, you know,
I think it's got a fuller finish,
yeah, right.
and a bit more bittering. So, what did you think, Mike? You know, how close do you think we are?
Well, you know, we're close, but yeah, I was surprised as you were that it tasted as similar as it did. But you know, that's not even it wasn't even close to any standard that we've set. Yeah, it's not the same beer. In a lot of ways, you know, the maltiness of it to me gets in the way of the rest of the beer. I have a little concern about our hops. There's a flavor in there that I'm wondering if we have or not, but I can't tell with all this malt on top of it. So certainly some sort of backing off of all that residual sweetness or maltiness, I should say. It's not that sweet.
Right.
Is certainly going to help. On the SRM issue, you know, by any chart I can look at, I don't see where their commercial beer, at least the bottle we're pouring here today, is anywhere close to SRM 27. It's at most a 20,
right.
Maybe a 17. Our beer looks like it is a 27, which, of course, we did, you know, by recipe, we developed a 27. So see, what lab are you using? Some sort of, like, guy that picks up your garbage or something?
Was it in Pacheco?
Yeah,
the Pacheco lab.
Yeah.
Damn it, human.
Oh, and you know, and when I gave the recipe, I don't think I gave
our beer does not have gonorrhea, by the way.
Good.
Yes.
Thank God.
Not this one.
I'm out of penicillin.
I forgot to give the fermentation temperature during the recipe. I fermented it 67F or whatever that is, something. 19.4 C.
See, I think I'd bump it up two more degrees.
69?
Yeah, okay. You know, Mitch was saying 72.
I can do this.
But 72,
he's just saying,
you know, they're taller fermenters, and so that's one of the things is when you go into this, when you're trying to clone a beer and you're getting advice from the brewery, if you follow it strictly, you're not going to clone the beer. You're going to, you know, they're not lying to you. In this case, it didn't tell us much, but you know, when the brewer says, "Yeah, you know, we've measured ours and it's 60 IBU," and you dial in 60 IBU in yours, and you go, "Well, it didn't turn out right. You know, they lied to me. That son of a bitch." Well, you know, same thing for color, IBUs, a lot of these different measurements. Yeah,
absolutely, it goes the other way too. If you take your homebrew recipe and try to do it commercially, it's just going to scale up differently.
Exactly. You know, there's different processes at work, and it makes a different beer. So, and also the formulas that you're using are estimations. So in this, for example, this, the lab measured this at 58 IBU. We dialed in 80 IBU using the Rager formula. Now, I think we're probably a little too high on that. Yeah. I might back off a 5 or 8 IBU off of that. It'll become more apparent once the sweetness is reduced. And then, you know, color-wise, you know, we dialed in what the color was supposed to be, but, you know, we're still a bit dark. So, you know, those formulas, you really need to keep in mind that, taller fermenters will have a little more partial pressure of CO2, might keep esters down, they can go a little warmer, and you might need to go a little cooler. You know, mash temperatures can vary. I think maybe we'd go a couple of degrees cooler on the mash temperature. You know, there's a number of things that we would change. And one of the things I did in trying to figure out this recipe and get everything dialed in ahead of time was, you remember back, we were at Downtown Joe's, not this last time, but a couple of times before, and Colin came around with his 100-grain taste test, right? You remember this, Justin, where
I do remember
measure
that.
Out 100 grains that matches the percentage of the recipe. So if you have 3% of chocolate malt, you add 3 grains of chocolate malt.
Right.
If it's 10% Munich, you add 10 grains of Munich. And the theory is you pour this whole thing in your mouth and chew it up, and that gives you an idea what the flavor of the recipe is going to come out with. Hmm. Well, I went ahead and, you know, I wasn't a big fan of it at the time. But I thought, okay, well, you know, I'll give this a try. Maybe it'll help.
You don't have much. You might as well
looking for any tricks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Anything I could do to pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Really? Yeah.
And so I do this. And, you know, as I'm chewing on this 100 grains of malt, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's just way too dry to be able to really tell anything. You know, you're chewing up. You're really not fully distributing all those flavors throughout your mouth. And it really doesn't give you a whole lot of an idea. And it's, you know, you end up, you know, like taking a laxative, you know, 100 grains, all this us going through you. And
you did it 10 times, it sounds like.
Right. You're right. So you're adjusting it and you're trying to taste these. And, you know, you do about 2-3 of these things and then you're just like, oh, forget it. You know, there's just no way I'm ever doing this again. So it seemed like a good concept, but I think the execution was a little flawed. So here's what you do. You measure out your 100 grains. You put it in a spice grinder.
Or coffee,
grind it up.
Or coffee grinder.
Yeah. Or coffee grinder, whatever you have. And then just make a tea with it. Get some, 155-degree water or whatever. Yeah. Pour it in there. Let it sit for a little while until it cools down into, you know, a reasonable range for you to sample. And then, some conversion will happen. You're really not too concerned about that because you don't really want it that sweet. Sure, run it through a coffee grinder. You're going to end up with a lot of, you know, fine husk material, probably going to get tannin extraction, all that. That's fine because you have no hops in there. I guess you could throw in a hop pellet if you want. Let that thing steep.
Oh, yeah.
And then run it through a coffee filter or run French it through. I have a little tea for loose leaf tea. Strainer to run it through that, and you know it'll all settle after you've let it sit for until it cools down, and you know, just decant off the top down into your glass, and then give that a try. Cool it down a little bit, and you can taste that, and you can taste just small amounts. You can make up half a dozen of these things. You can with various theories you have on your recipe. And then you can taste them side by side. You can do small sips. There's liquid there to help distribute the flavors throughout your mouth and, you know, the aroma and things like that. And that is, I think, very helpful. And it's not that difficult to do. It certainly takes a little more work than just chewing on 100 grains, but it tells you a lot more than just chewing on 100 grains.
Well, without all the chewing, too. I mean, think about it. If you did three trials.
Without the laxative.
Exactly.
Right, right.
And what about, you add any sugar to that? I mean, that makes sense. You might want to add some sugar to get it a little more sweeter.
Well, you can.
Especially if you add the hops.
Right. You don't want it too sweet.
No, but I mean, you'd have to kind of dial that in kind of thing.
Yeah, if you let it sit, if you use a mash temp water and let it sit, you're essentially doing like a Congress mash. And, right. You'll get some conversion and it'll sweeten up. The tannins will kind of help counter some of that sweetness. It turns out all right.
Well, what you're making, to me, is more like wort than it is finished beer. So.
Right, right.
Which is good. I mean, that's one thing I do. And every beer I make, I always taste the wort, just to try to get that association between what that tastes like and what the finished beer is going to taste like.
And I think once you get that done and you kind of have a few grain bills that you think will be close, then you go ahead and you could do, little countertop mashing in a 2-gallon igloo and, do 1-gallon batches of various beers and your attempts, and that'll get you a lot closer there. And then you scale up, and then you do these attempts. Now, since Tasty's willing to brew 10 gallons of anything, we bypass those 1-gallon tests.
I'm starting to require people that are willing to take 5 gallons of anything and drink it for me.
Give it here. Done.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
I have more beers to make and no place to put them.
Yeah. Keep making them.
So those are some of the steps we use in order to kind of get this dialed in. And what I think we do have is something very much akin to, one of the things I get in Arrogant Bastard is that really dark crystal kind of character, that 150 love crystal. And, that to me is one of the signature flavors in that beer. And I've, other recipes I've seen really haven't had that. Now, we didn't use any 120. And maybe, Justin was talking about that Belgian grapey malty thing. And maybe we need some 120 in there. But, I think we're getting fairly close. So why don't we do this? Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll kind of recap what changes we think should happen to this recipe for our next attempt. Back after this.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a homebrewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BN Army in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
In the past year, the Brewing Network has been able to add 2 new shows, expand our studio capabilities and quality, and bring more beer information home to you than ever before. In no small part, this is due to subscribers like you. Thank you from all of us at the Brewing Network. Without your monthly support of any denomination, we could not bring you the very best in live beer radio like Can You Brew It, Brew Strong, and The Sunday Session. Haven't signed up yet? Join your fellow brewers in the BN Army. Sign up today at thebrewingnetwork.com for a recurring donation as little as $2 a month. Besides all the great live radio you'll support, every subscriber is automatically entered in monthly raffles for amazing brew gear like a conical fermenter, a temperature control system, or your own draft setup. Become a part of the BN Army today.
Ewa, what's it feel like?
Take awesome and multiply it by 2?
Yeah!
Spraying live beer radio all over your face.
Can't get any better than this, baby!
It's the Brewing Network.
And now, suck it, Tasty.
Is that any way to talk to Tasty on his birthday?
Fortunately, they give me a check every time that gets said. So, yeah, I'll take the dough every time.
You get the residuals. You get the, what, 2 cents each time?
Yeah.
Gotta give you a dime.
Better than nothing. It's more than JP's getting. That's all I know.
Yeah. Residuals around here equal my residual change from the washing machine.
Yeah. Yeah, residuals.
You gotta get here on Wednesdays to get it.
Yeah. The stain around the toilet seat. That's the residual, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we didn't clone it, but I think we did a lot of things right. And you know, the things that I would adjust, I'd go to a warmer ferment temp. I'm not sure I'd go up to 72 Fahrenheit, but I'd definitely kick it up a few degrees. I don't know why. You know, Mike and I kicked back and forth what the ferment temperature was, and we were like, okay, 67 for some reason. Yeah. But you know, there is a lot of alcohol character to this beer, and I think you're going to get that with this yeast. You know, a couple degrees warmer, 69, maybe you know, 70. I think you'll pick that up in this dry English or whip red yeast.
Yeah, I thought my beer smelt more English than Arrogant Bastard. That could have been the ferment. I mean, I'm assuming now that a higher ferment is going to give me more of that, but.
Right. Oh, I thought you got a lot. There's a lot of crystal aroma and some chocolate aroma.
Yeah, it's really dominated by the malt. And certainly,
and I think that's kind of giving kind of that English character. Yeah. But I think, you know, there's a lot of. I think we got the yeast right based on our research and, you know, just side by side. I think warmer we're going to get that. I think we're missing some late hop character. It's, you know, the older the bottle sample, the less late hop character is there. But, you know, generally there is some late hop character there. So I would probably double our late hop addition, our last addition. Won't change the IBUs. Speaking of which, I'd probably dial down the IBUs, maybe that initial, that first addition at 85 minutes. You could either move that to 60. Or just cut it by maybe 5 to 8 IBU. And hard to say. I think, you know, we had a little too much crystal sweetness. So I would keep the ratios of the crystal malts the same because I think we're very close on kind of the overall character. But I would dial them all down maybe a quarter or a third. And then... on the chocolate malt, I would cut that in half. I'm not convinced we need to eliminate it at this point, but there is a chocolate note that comes through in that aroma that has to go away. So chocolate is really more for a color adjustment. If the chocolate still is too much at half that amount, I would eliminate it, and then I'd go with maybe some carafa just for color. If we end up not getting enough color, but I don't think they're doing that at Stone. Let's see here. I think that's about. Oh, I'd change the mash temp. So instead of 148, I think, you know, or 149, I think maybe 148, 147. You know, yours was much richer, I thought, and viscous.
Right. And more a dextrinous kind of beer.
Yep. And maybe, you know, the interesting thing is lab comes back with 7.65 ABV. So we dial in the recipe for 7.65 ABV, but, you know, Stone's listing 7.2.
Right on the bottle, yeah.
Right. So maybe we adjust down to get closer to 7.2 with the base malt. So those are kind of the changes I think we need to make in order to get this... closer in line. So, did you have anything to add to that, Tasty?
Well, I'm still hung up on this SRM issue again. This I don't know. It's based on what I'm looking at the beer. You know, it looks like to me a beer that I would add Crystal 120 to get this nice ruby red color that it's got. And I'm getting some of that sort of raisiny thing that I'm getting out of Crystal 120. So I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm a, you know, the 150, I don't know. Can you see possibly moving that down to 120?
No.
No?
Right, so I can see getting rid of the chocolate malt, but...
the chocolate could, well, you say that's in the aroma, so we've got to have it in there to get that chocolate aroma.
No, it's in yours, it's not in Stone.
Oh, okay. Oh,
right, yeah. So we got to...
But I can see that then.
cut the chocolate malt in half.
Sure.
The thing about this beer is, yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but I really believe that the flavor of 150 is in there. And maybe it's a combination of chocolate and 120, but it tastes so much like 150 to me that I'm like, it's 150. You know, when I taste this, I say to myself, oh, if I want to replicate that flavor, it's 150. And you know, in our recipe, 150 is like double all the other crystal malts.
Yeah, it's real big.
So I could see maybe cutting the 150 in half and making it half 150, half 120. But I don't see getting rid of the 150.
All right. I like that. Or maybe, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to say there. But, and you know, it's a balancing act of these crystals. The interesting thing is, this is all pretty much crystal malts. It's not all these Munichs and all these other things. And, you know, we're pretty close. So it's a unique recipe that nobody else out there has suggested as a clone for that beer. Now, maybe I'm ahead of my ass. I'm sure plenty of people tell you I do. But I think this is really the way to go as far as cloning this one.
Well, we're just going to the second attempt, so.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll be even closer with the second attempt. That'd be considerably great. Closer. Justin, is there any questions from the chat room?
Yeah, I've got a few questions from the chat. And just before I do that, because there was some discussion about the crystal, and while we're still on it, you know, I have a question about your thought process. Because in the beginning, you said, I don't know why, but I think the crystal malts are the key to this beer. Mm-hmm. But I think you do know why you think that. And I want to know what it is about the beer specifically that makes you think, I think this is the crystal is what makes it happen. I think you do know why. What happened when you tasted Arrogant Bastard that make you think crystal?
Well, my bomber is empty here. But
you're too drunk to answer.
So is ours. Chad drank it all.
Chad did drink all of ours.
You know, there's a sweet kind of crystal caramel throughout the beer. Not heavy, but throughout the beer, and of different kind of levels of crystal malt. So, you know, like Crystal 15 has a certain kind of sweet, toasty flavor to it. Crystal 40 has really more of that caramel kind of flavor to it. 80 is a little bit raisiny. And 150 is a little more of a kind of a burnt caramel to it.
Okay.
And I don't taste a whole lot of, you know, Munich or any of those other things that I see people adding. I really just don't taste that in this beer. I get kind of a little bit of a nuttiness in the background. So maybe there is a little something in there. But I'm just not convinced that's a major part of the profile. The profile to me speaks of all these different kinds of crystal malts. And, you know, I wish I had thought of this when we were doing the interview earlier, but I did kind of ask some questions around the crystal malts and the colors of crystal malts that they use. And I just get this, I don't know, something tells me this is the way to do it. I don't have any more than that.
Okay. Is it possible... And I think some breweries even stumble upon this. They go, let's try this weird combination of malts. Is it possible that it's this crazy combination of crystal malts that we could never possibly guess, that they've put in a little of this one, a little of that one, and it just came out to be this great beer that we like?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking was, you know, it's like, all right, well, you know, let's try, you know, these, you know, some of this, you know, let's try all these crystal malts. Let's try every crystal malt we have. And, you know, see what happens.
Right.
And yeah, I'm wondering if that's not the case.
The beer is like, you know, from a vintage, if you will, or it was developed at a time when it was commonplace to have a whole really complicated grain bill.
Right.
And
let's face it, sometimes don't you think that's stumbled upon and they just went, hey, you know what? That works.
Why change it?
Do it every time.
Right.
It just would make it very difficult to figure out all these crystals is what I'm thinking.
Right. And then another thing I'm a little concerned about is I have a, like when I do this with all these crystal malts, I have a direct fired bowl kettle. They have a, you know, obviously a steam jacketed. So I'm going to get I'm thinking more, you know, more caramelization in my kettle than they're going to be getting in theirs.
Hmm.
So, yeah. In some ways,
malonoid information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So there, you know. So there's a potential for, you know, not being able to actually make that beer, given the way that most home brewers, you know, boil their beer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have to back off even further to you know, the caramel malts to adjust for that.
Okay.
Well, that's what we're going to do. Right. You know, we're definitely going to take a step back on that and see, you know, how close that gets us, and if we need to do more, we can. Maybe at one point it would be worth brewing what everybody else considers a clone recipe of this, along with whatever our final recipe is, and a fresh sample of Variant Bastard all in the same room.
Yeah,
with Mitch in there too,
and with Mitch, yeah, we might have to do that too.
Right, and a big strong guy with some sharp objects.
Yeah,
would he be able to admit it? You know,
probably
no.
Yeah,
no.
Probably not.
Nor could he deny.
That's why we need somebody. Yeah. I have an Italian family. We can get a mafia guy in here.
Go to those guys off 24. They know how to make you talk.
All right, let's talk about hops. And there's something about the recipe that I was surprised about. That I've also got a question from the chat room. So everyone wants to know this. I'm surprised that you guys went with a single hop throughout the beer. And somebody else asked that too. Do you think you guys got the hops right just using Chinook through the whole thing? So I'm curious. So two parts. Why did you think it's a single hop? And two, do you guys think you got the hops right?
Well, why do they think we don't have it right?
Well, they haven't tasted it. So I guess maybe
what are they tasting in
Arrogant Bastard?
Right. Yeah, they're not saying. I would get, if it's me, because I was surprised by it too. I don't know, it just seems like such a complex beer to me. A lot of flavors going on. I would tend to think that the hop bill might have been as complex as the malt bill.
But hop-wise, I don't know.
I do get some sort of like other flavors in the true Arrogant Bastard here. Not so much, it's kind of a little bit of a spiciness, or it seems like it's hop-derived. And I don't think we're going to get whatever that is out of the Chinook. So I am a little concerned. But like I said, we got such a big crystal malt domination here that I really can't taste the hops that well. So I don't think trial number two is necessarily going to be it, but you know, three might be. So
right. So this is one thing I'm taking from all those clone recipes that everybody else claims are correct for Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah,
you know, people are going with just Chinook, and the hops that I do get out of Arrogant Bastard, when I get one that's a little fresher than the bottle sample, I pick up a little more late hop character, and it's along those lines of citrusy, piney type of hop character. So I don't think we're far off,
and
maybe they're using a different hop for bittering or something like that. But I don't think we're that far off, and I think, you know, maybe we make a final adjustment or two for hops. But, right now I want to focus on the malt and kind of get that malt profile, because that's the bigger thing of this beer is really the malts.
At this point, yeah. Yeah.
You know, bitterness is a big thing. The fermentation esters, I think we got that. I think we're close on the malts, like the malts dialed in. Once we do, and everything, like Mike says, the maltiness kind of gets out of the way, we'll see how the hops stand up to the commercial example.
Okay. All right, question from the chat directly. This is a good question, I think, pins down the beauty of Arrogant Bastard. Beach Cola is in the room, and he says, the real brilliance of Arrogant Bastard is it's very balanced. It has the backbone to support the hops. It's kind of an extreme beer. It is an extreme beer, at least certainly when it came out, yet it still has a balance to it. Did the clone, do you guys think, represent the same kind of a balance between the two, that nice hop and the big malt, everything?
I think so. I think, there was, we are a little too high on the IBUs. I think we're a little too high on the malt. So it's a like a bigger version with a little bit of chocolate in it, and it could use a little late hops.
Okay.
So surprisingly, it's just a bigger version in some ways.
Okay. And another good question, two good questions from the same listener. Matt McLeod is in there.
he wants to know if you guys talked about carbonation for this beer. And I don't know that we did discuss. I know Jay-Z mentioned a carbonation issue with the homebrew, but what do you guys think about the appropriate carbonation for a clone here?
Well, my experience with the Arrogant Bastard as I'm getting it in these always in 22s is it is a little lower on the carbonation side than a lot of beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably didn't take note of that when we... Next time I do it, I'll lower that up a little bit so it'll be more like the commercial beer.
Okay.
Now, when I poured these today, I think I knew mine was higher, so I just bounced it a little bit more than I did the Arrogant Bastard. So
went over.
You may not have noticed
bumps.
It today because I was like adjusting that. But,
okay.
But I did note it in the in my out of my brewery. It was a little bit over carbonated.
Okay.
Yeah. So Arrogant Bastard's maybe like, you know, two and a quarter volumes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite 2.5. I mean, it wasn't that far off.
Okay. And finally, last question from the chat room. Something that I thought about Tasty's beer, that if it aged a little bit, it would be a lot closer to a clone. They want to know, in general, is this a beer that's good for aging? What's your opinion about that?
Well, it's certainly big enough. You know, to me, big and dark beers, and this is SRM 27, and it's you know, by recipe, it's 80 IBUs. Yeah, this beer would sit pretty well.
Yeah. And it seems to me that even the sample we had is a little bit aged. And still tasted great.
The
commercial,
yeah,
is a little bit aged and still tasted great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the problem we have on all these shows is that, you know, that to get that beer can be, at, you know, it's got to be at least 4 weeks old if we can get it out of, you know, Southern California.
Yeah.
And it's probably much more than that. Again, my beer is probably, you know, 23 days old or something like that. So, yeah.
Well, and that's also one of the things that I find changes is that the bittering drops a little bit and the hop character drops a little bit as they age in the bottle. So that's probably the, you know, the only real negative impacts. It's kind of nice to get that, you know, bolder hop aroma and flavor out of it. But it's, you know, it's a great beer. You know, you can have those bottles around for a long time. It's still a great beer.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Questions really from the chat. The only thing is, as you recap the recipe, if you do so, there was a question to make sure you please recap the yeast strain that you chose, which, by the way, was another piece of information that Mitch didn't really give you, right? You didn't know exactly which yeast to use.
Right.
Would you change the yeast on this next one, or do you guys think you got the yeast nailed? You got that.
That's the yeast.
Okay. Yeah, and what was it?
The 007, the dry English, mm-hmm. or white yeast. 1098.
Yep.
All right. And you're good convinced on that one. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's it from the chat.
All right. So, Tasty, you want to recap that recipe for us?
The whole thing. Huh? All right. Well, here we go. Well, I'll give you the basics here.
Lazy Tasty.
The condensed version.
I'll give you the Australian version. 6.41 kilograms of pale malt, half a kilogram of Crystal 150, quarter kilogram of Crystal 15, quarter kilogram of Crystal 40, quarter kilogram of Crystal 80, and 0.15 kilograms of chocolate malt. The Crystal 150 is British. At 85 minutes, we put in 28 grams of Chinook. At 45 minutes, we put in 14 grams of Chinook. At 50 minutes, we put in 14 grams of Chinook again. And at flame out, guess what? 14 grams of Chinook. We mashed it, single step mashed this at 149 or 65 C. Oh, sorry, you guys. We mashed that at 75.6 C to let it sit there for 10 minutes, and then we sparged out at 170 or 76.7 C for about 60 minutes. We produced a starting gravity of 71, finishing gravity of 13, and ABV came out to 7.7%. And it was 80 by IBUs by formula, and 27.6 SRM. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. So, if you were going to do the modified version, I would change the Crystal 150 to 400 grams, and the 15, 40, and 80 to 200 grams, and the chocolate malt to 75 grams for a 6-gallon batch. And then I'd double the last hop addition to 28 grams, and then mash temp a few degrees lower and ferment temp a couple degrees higher. Yeah, the SRM for the modified version comes around 21.7 SRM using the Mori color formula.
It's a lot of changes in one second attempt.
Right, but they're all fairly distinct. And actually, I might back off on the IBUs a little bit as well. Dial it down to maybe 75 IBUs using the Rager formula. Hmm. You know, 70, 72 maybe. Again, the measured at the lab was 58 IBU. So, you know, you're kind of just guessing with these formulas that we have available to us. So, you know,
okay.
I think that's pretty much the best you can do.
So if we don't, if someone doesn't nail it in clone two, you guys want me just to, you know, take a baseball bat to the kneecaps on Mitch and see what we can get done here?
No. We'll be. I think after two, we're going to be much more confident.
Okay, good.
We're going to say who the fuck needs Mitch.
All right. I think Mitch would be so.
Mitch
stoked.
Is dead to us.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry, Mitch. You're not welcome.
We want to get even. Actually.
Right. I'm going to get this. Damn it.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, and I think it'd be nice to, you know, do some more stone brewing. Can you brew it, huh?
Yeah. Make great beer.
Yeah, great beer, great people. They're very friendly, very generous to the homebrew community. So support them because they do support you. Don't hold it against them for not sharing arrogant bastard information. That's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
We're going to
our challenge.
Nail that thing to the wall, right?
We're going to get it.
If you have beers to send in, people have been sending them directly to me, but you can send them to canyoubrewit@thebrewingnetwork.com. You can also go to the Brewing Network store and find signed copies of books. You can find shirts, great shirts from like Brew Strong, and a lot of cool stuff in there. While you're at it, go to northernbrewer.com and check them out. Until then, Brew Strong.